Let me tell you what this time is not, what I'm about to share with you guys. It is not in any way my intention to shame or to say you should do this better or to bring guilt or condemnation. We all struggle with this. I have certainly been guilty way more than once of when I'm in the throes of parenting and things are crazy, just and the kids are just right there and can I have this? Just say, hey, take this and go play a game. You know, just so I can have a moment of reprieve and have my thoughts together. We've all done that, and if you haven't, then please come talk to me and tell me what in the world is it that you're made of that you haven't done that. But so we all struggle with this, and so there's no shame and guilt in this. I don't want to try to scare you. My agenda is not to give you a bunch of statistics up here of what screen time is doing to the brains of our children. I think we've read or heard a lot about that, and that's not what I'm going to do during this time. And it is scary to think about that. You know, when I was growing up, all I had to worry about was not sitting too close to the TV. You know, you're gonna hurt your eyes. And now, anybody else have their parents say that? Yeah. That and the 30 minute after eating can't get in the pool. It's like between those two things, I'm lucky to be alive. But the things that our kids are facing these days, it's just like, wow, it really is doing things to their psyche and to their minds that are really concerning. You can read those articles on your own. We can resource you with some of those articles and send links to you if you want to read some of those. You spoke to it earlier. I did read an article just this week that I've got, my oldest is 15, so we're in this world deep right now. I'll share a little bit more about our story in just a moment. And then my girls, he's our son. Our girls are 10, 9, and almost 6. She'll be 6 in a few weeks. But it is alarming. One thing I will mention, it is alarming how heightened anxiety and depression is among preteens and teens today. In large part, these studies are now conclusively beginning to connect the dots between the anxiety and depression and screen time, specifically social media, because it is just a world of comparison. And very few people put on social media things that are going to represent them in a poor light. They're putting their best foot forward. And so you're seeing what you're missing out on. You're seeing the girl or the guy that looks better than you do, at least in that Photoshop picture. And there's the, you know, and so you just, it's a real issue. And so we'll have other sessions like this where we dive into maybe some of those issues a little bit more. I'm going to give you two things that, and don't put them up quite yet, Alex, but all I really want to do is share with y'all mine and Rachel's experience. So if you were here for the Young Family Sunday last month, I had to work and work and work on my wife to join me up here. She hates public speaking. Even if I'm like, hey, it's just a small group of 10, she's like, I don't care, I hate it. And so I used all of my collateral to get her up here last week, or last month. There was no chance for 2 months in a row. So I really wanted her up here with me again, but she's serving in another part of the church this morning. But I do want to share our experience and talk about some of the decisions that we've made. And this is our approach. This is not thus saith the Lord. I may share something here in a minute that you go, oh, I wouldn't do that. And that's totally fine. We may be more strict than you are. And it's okay that you're not as strict as we are. I mean, this is a spirit-led thing between you and your spouse of how God is going to lead you as a family to engage in this part of the world that is just beating our doors down. So here's the first thing I'll share with you. This is one of our objectives. We aim to reject certain cultural norms in this area according to our agreed-upon plan. We aim to reject certain cultural norms in this area, and here's the key part, according to our agreed-upon plan. That's the key. If there's not a plan, and I don't think, just even based on what y'all are sharing, it sounds like you guys are talking about this. But I did ask Rachel, I said, what would you want to say most if you were able to be here this morning? And she said, I think the thing I would say most is you got to have a plan. You can't be reactive to this stuff. You've got to be proactive. And one of the things that we even said in the little blurb about promoting this morning was, we know that a number of our couples who come to this each month, your kids are little bitties. I mean, this is not your reality right now, but it will be. And you want to be in a place where you have already been thinking, even years in advance, how are we going to tackle this? How are we going to stay on top of it? Because this issue is constantly changing, right? There's new apps every day. There's new ways that kids can be having access to something that we don't know about. And so how are we going to stay on top of it? The social media aspect and just the screen time aspect 5 years from now is going to be really different from how it is now. So how are we continuing to not just talk about it and create a plan, but how are we adapting our plan? And it's key, even if you have different opinions on it, it's key that you agree according to your agreed upon plan. So that's the first one. So aim to reject certain cultural norms in this area according to your, and I should have put agreed upon plan. There are some things that Rachel and I, where she has said, I really want to do this in this approach with technology. And I've said, okay, well, that seems really strict. But you know what? I'd rather err on the side of that than where maybe I want to tend to be in my nature, where I'm much more laid back and much more I'm just like that guy that trusts way too much and is naive. And so I'm saying, okay, sweetie, I don't know that I fully see that, but I'm going to lean on you in this. And so we'll agree to this as a part of our plan. A couple things that we've done is our son is, he's 15. I won't tell you his whole story, but he's got a really, at least to us, pretty captivating story. We were able to adopt him when he was 3 from Ukraine. And so he's in 8th grade. He's had to repeat a grade. And we call him our little overcomer because he's overcome so much. But he's in the throes of this world. And he is a sweet, kind boy, but he really wrestles with liking us sometimes. Because as far as we have been able to figure out, he is one of 2 kids in his entire 8th grade that doesn't have a phone, that doesn't have a smartphone. And we have been unapologetic to him. I mean, we'll say things like, buddy, I'm sorry, I know it's hard, but you're not getting a phone. Now, what he doesn't know is that we agreed a long time ago that all of our kids would get their first phone at Christmas of their 8th grade year. So he's about to have a big Christmas. And it'll be the greatest Christmas he's ever had. But what will also come with that phone is all kinds of different restrictions and whatnot that he might be a little disappointed of what little he can do with it once he has it. But at least he'll be able to text and he'll be able to make phone calls, that kind of thing. But we agreed on that a while back. We said, hey, just for us and our family, and I mean, if we've been asked once, we've been asked 200,000 times, when can I get a phone? I'm the only one that doesn't have a phone. Y'all just hate me. Y'all just want me to be an outcast at school, you know, all this. And it's like, no, we know it's hard. We made that decision a long time ago. I can't emphasize enough the importance of a plan and sticking to it, no matter how much your children beg and ask. And our girls now know, because they've seen how steadfast we've been with Samuel. Our girls know, all right, look, I just got to prepare myself. There won't be a phone. We will not have a phone until whenever. They don't know. They don't, you know, they'll see Samuel get his and the cat's about to be about out of the bag. They'll go, oh, okay, now, Christmas, 8th grade, I'll get it. Another thing is, I would say is, we are super, super, super strict. They do have, so they've got some, the girls have Kindles. We do have 1 family iPad that they share, but we've been super strict about electronics. We in our house, we have no electronics during the week. Period. They just, you know, unless it's as a part of homework, because they are my oldest daughter and my oldest 2 daughters and Samuel have homework that you have to do electronically. And that's part of it. We want them to learn and know how to use these devices because it's a part of the world. We want to receive that part of it. But unless it has to do with homework, I'm sorry. So we have this 1 family phone. It was like my iPhone 4. That is kind of it's for the kids, but it stays in 1 spot in the house, and some of their friends have that number. And so on the weekends, on Friday when they get home from school, and on Saturday, and somewhat on Sunday, they can stay in that 1 place in the kitchen, and they can see what texts they've missed that week from friends, and they can respond to them. And their friends now know that, okay, we won't hear from Ellie Kate or Abigail or Samuel until the weekend. And they'll have like 840 texts to read, you know? And so I told y'all, y'all may hear this and go, wow, Jeff and Rachel are mean. But this is just kind of our convictions. This is where we have landed with it. And please hear this. We do not do this perfectly at all. We have moments where we fall into the, you know, to being really nice. We'll say, okay, you can, it'll be like a Tuesday. Like, okay, you can answer that text. That's fine. You know, so we don't want to be legalistic about it. You know, if I see a text on there, because I'll check it pretty often, see what they're texting about with their friends. And if I see something on there where somebody's asked one of the girls or Samuel about something that seems pretty important, maybe it's school related or whatever, it's okay, hey, come here, you text him back. That seems important, right? But it's not going to be a free-for-all. And to your point, Matt, earlier about letting them go to their room and lock themselves in, when they do have screen time opportunities on the weekends, we monitor that. We have all kinds of, I didn't even know about VidAngel. That's good. I'm going to look that up. But we do have different filters on there that I'll share about in just a moment. But reject certain cultural norms. We reject Snapchat holistically, and we always will. Like, they will never have Snapchat, and they will hate us for it, because Samuel has already told us, all my friends, all they do is communicate through Snapchat. Sorry. When you're out of this house and you're on your own, you can get Snapchat, because you won't be under my, my roof anymore. But as long as you're under me, Snapchat will not be happening. That was created. That app was created for nothing other than, you know what, than sexting. That was the purpose of it. And there's just not anything that I see super redeemable about that app. So we reject that holistically. We are planning to reject social media for as long as we can. None of our kids have an Instagram account or Facebook or Twitter. And most likely, we have not landed on when they will, but it definitely won't be until high school. So we're just super strict about this stuff. I'll tell you why. Second part. Aim to redeem. Oh, one more thing I want to mention. Even this is, I told you I'm not going to scare you, but I just want to know, even be careful about apps that you seem to just go, oh, well, that's a good app. Like, for example, YouTube Kids. We trusted that app way too much. And our son was able to find something on there that I'm like, what? This is on YouTube Kids? And so even that, don't be naive. And we've had to come back behind that, and we still allow that to be on the family iPad, but if they get on YouTube Kids, they have to sit right next to us. With kids in the room, I'm not going to say, but I'll tell you. If you want to know, you can come ask me later, and we can have a one-on-one. I'm making that sound like it was something horrible, like somebody got murdered on there or something, but that was not it. It was enough to where you're going, whoa, this is... I can't believe this is on YouTube Kids. Second one, aim to redeem technology according to your plan. And most importantly, according to your kingdom vision for your children. According to your kingdom vision for your children. So you guys have said it. You know the aim is not to reject holistically, and the aim is not to receive holistically, but the aim is to redeem where we can. And yes, according to our plan that I talked about in the first point, but even more importantly, most importantly, according to the kingdom vision that you and your spouse have for your children. Kingdom vision is this mindset of what is it that we are most longing to develop in the hearts and the minds of our children that is related to the kingdom of God, that drives them into a deeper love for Christ and a love for his kingdom. Okay? So how you answer that question, what's your kingdom vision for your children? How you answer that question is critical to how you will make choices regarding technology in your house. Let me say that again. How you answer the question, what is your kingdom vision for your children? I mean, certainly have that question for your own life as well. What's my kingdom vision? How do I want to be continually marching in step with Jesus in such a way to where the kingdom is bearing fruit in my life, that is coming to bear in my own heart and then bearing fruit in my life? And then apply that same question to your children. How do I want to see the kingdom of God come to bear in their lives and in their hearts? And how do I want to see the kingdom of God bear fruit in their lives? And how you answer that question is you begin to, together with your spouse, lay out what that would look like for your children. You can't control their hearts. You can't control what God does with them. That's not what I'm suggesting. But how, in the responsibilities that God has given us as parents, what are ways that we can most set them up for the kingdom of God to come and bear into their hearts and into their lives, and that they would just love Jesus and his kingdom? And how you answer that will be critical for how you determine how technology is used in your home. A couple other things that we've done that may or may not be helpful. We have a common docking place for all electronics in our house. It's just right there in our kitchen. And we have a set time where, and this is where we fail most often, where Rachel and I fail most often. We have a time, we say every evening at 8 o'clock, all, and this is for me and Rachel, all electronics need to be docked there. So Rachel's real creative and kind of a, I don't know what the word would be, just interior designer type mindset. And so she bought these things that are four files. There's these wooden boxes that have compartments that are I can't explain it. You can tell I'm really good at this stuff. But you put paper in them, but she has used them to, she drilled holes in the bottom of them to feed wires up through the bottom. And there's an outlet behind them. And so there's three or four different places that you can stick your device in there and they'll charge while they're docked there. And we just try to implement, sometimes well, sometimes not well, that not only will all the kids on weekends when they can have electronics or when they've got to use it for their homework, that by 8 o'clock they would be docked right there and not used anymore for the rest of the night. And that mom and dad would model that well also. That our phones would be docked or our iPads, whatever, would be docked right there every evening at 8 o'clock. Now, after they're in bed, if we need to answer some texts or whatever, we'll do that. Sometimes I feel like a hypocrite for doing that because I'm like, I told them to dock it, now I'm back on it, and they're asleep, and they don't know. But sometimes you have to respond to things. But we want to model for our kids well. Somebody said that over here. Is that you? Yeah, about how we feel like hypocrites sometimes. Where we're constantly, every ding, we're like, what was that? And then we're yelling at our kids, get off your device. So we put that in place to try to be a good example. A smartphone, this is just a simple statement, we've already mentioned it, a smartphone or tablet without filters or device monitoring apps is like a venomous snake in the hands of a child. They will be bitten. It will happen. And I don't know that anybody in here would think, oh, I can give my kid free access. I'm not suggesting that. But I want to encourage you to err on the side of, you know, being maybe a little too strict with this for the sake of what they may or may not see. There's all kinds of, we found an app recently called Life 360. Anybody familiar with that? It actually monitors apps and tells you basically everything that your child is doing, broken down into, I mean, it tells you they were on this app for 5 minutes, they were on this website for 7 minutes. I mean, it monitors the entire phone and everything that you do on it. Covenant Eyes has recently finally updated their software to where no longer do you have to download their search engine. I mean, not search engine, but browser. But you can now, it now monitors the whole phone. If you get on Safari, it's going to be able to monitor that and not just a Covenant Eyes browser like it's been for a really long time. So I feel like some of these opportunities that we've been given are finally catching up to the technology to monitor and see what's going on. So Life 360, by the way, works better with Androids than iPhones. I have an iPhone. It works okay. It monitors more holistically with Androids. And let me just mention this. This is a little bit off topic, but just because I think Garrett shared this when he taught in here a while back, when he led in here a while back. How do we even redeem things like movies? Some families choose to reject Disney movies altogether, which totally fine. No issue there if that's what you decide to do. We have taken the approach of redeem Disney movies. Now, there will be some that we look at and we go, okay, that one, that's pretty irredeemable. But Rachel and I will watch the movie first, and then we will find different places in the movie where there's a great correlation to the gospel, or at least to just a kingdom thing or a God thing. And then we'll pause it at that point in the movie, and we'll ask our kids questions. So, so for example, just very briefly, with Moana, there's a scene in there's a part in the movie where she has been led by the ocean the whole time. She's been, the ocean has kind of been her sovereign hand, if you will, and protecting her and putting her here and here and here. Well, she's out in the ocean and she's trying to find Maui, not Hawaii Maui, but this demigod Maui. And already you're like, you let your kids watch this? And this storm is coming in and she's waiting on the ocean to do what it's been doing, to protect her and to lead her. And when the storm comes in, the ocean does nothing. And she becomes shipwrecked and she gets tossed over and she wakes up on this deserted island and she's furious. And she walks to the shore and she starts yelling at the ocean. What are you doing? Really? Are you serious? You've been leading me, you're doing your thing this whole time, and now all of a sudden storm comes, you're not there for me? And then not long thereafter, she realizes she's exactly where she's supposed to be. She turns and realizes, oh, this is Maui's island. This is where he is. And so at this point, we stopped it. And I asked the kids, I said, and you know, be ready for the dad. Why'd you stop it? You know, so be ready for that and just go, hey, sorry, we're going to talk about this for just a minute and I'll hit play again, okay? And so we just said, I just said, hey guys, what do you see that might be true about God and our experience with God and what just happened with Moana? And, you know, they're not thinking anything on the level that I am. And so, you know, they say some things that aren't necessarily bad, but they're not right. And so you want to affirm and you say, oh yeah, that's good. But what think about this. Do you think that you would ever be in a situation where you feel like God has left you? Where something hard comes and you go, God, where are you? That he's just left you out in the storm to just get beat up and to experience all these horrible consequences? And you just go, really? You've been leading me this whole time and this is the time that you decide not to be around? And you just yell at God and you're so mad at him like Moana was. And they go, oh, yeah. I mean, they're little. They haven't experienced that really yet. Samuel has to some extent. You say, but what happened with Moana? What did she realize? And they go, oh, she realized that she was where she was supposed to be. I said, exactly. God, and so I used Randy's, you know, I channeled Randy at this point. I said, God allows things he hates to accomplish was the word I couldn't think of, to accomplish what he loves. And oftentimes God will let us go through the storms and to get us not where we want to be, but where we need to be. And, you know, there's that moment for our kids where now every time they watch Moana, they're going to see it through that lens. And they're going to remember, hopefully, I pray this, that they'll remember Moana was not left by the ocean, just like we're not left by God. He's always with us. And he's actually leading us to where we need to be. So that's one example of where we try to do that with Disney movies. Sometimes it falls flat. Sometimes I'm like, hey, let me ask you this. Where do you see God in this story? And they don't really get it. And then I try to explain it, and they still don't get it. And they're like, just hit play. And so it's not going to be perfect. I'm giving you these examples, and you are thinking that Rachel and I are this wonderful couple. Man, we are not. We really fail often. But I just want to give you some examples of how that can happen.